and welcome to the Pinstripe Valley Podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined by Kunj. How you doing?
Yeah. My feelings go as the Yankees go, and it's been a very week.
Yeah, very much down the middle. They are 3-3 since our last recording, and that included a very spoiled to say, but still a season high tying 3-game losing streak. Ooh,
yeah.
There, but it was also not very fun to experience since the Yankees did not exactly play super well during it. Granted, I mean, even still, two of those games were late inning losses, and then the other one was a game where they had the lead and just sort of fell apart in the middle innings. But not the most entertaining time for the 2022 team, but they pulled out a walk-off win last night thanks to the old 2021 MVP, the wild pitch who came through with the in the 10th inning last night. So kudos to the wild pitch.
I still say they should have mobbed the ball after that instead of mobbing DJ.
Woo, you did it, man.
DJ scored and everyone just looked confused. Like, who do we run to?
I guess it's like, but, whatever. It's his birthday anyway. Let's mop him.
Was it DJ's birthday?
It was.
Oh, happy birthday, DJ.
Yeah, well, we missed it, so.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, okay.
You share a birthday with my dog.
So love that. Hey, wow, that's a hey. What an honor to share with Leia.
I was too busy celebrating her instead of DJ LeMahieu. I apologize, sir.
Yeah. Well, happy 34th to DJ LeMahieu. Got a game-winning run in there. So yeah. Thank you to Alexis Diaz, too, in the Reds.
Woo. Yeah, no, it's been a very annoying week, obviously, because it just wasn't fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But I don't think either you or I are as like thinking like, oh my God, the world is falling, the sky is falling, like this is it, doom, 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 because well, it's not that. Not yet, at least. But this is actually what we've been talking about, is like why it's good the Yankees have built up such a big lead and like how important their first half dominance was, because it affords you like crappy weeks like this where you go 3-3, which isn't even the worst of weeks, to be honest, right?
No, but I think it was
like a crappy week. Yeah.
It's more just the way it happened. And we had a little bit of that earlier in the season too. Like I think back in May, there was a series against the Rays. It was also a road series where they won the first two at the Trop. Then they lost the last two. And then you sort of left with a bad feeling in your mouth. And then that's basically the same thing that happened with Fenway, because they played really well. They won the first two games. At least the first one was pretty close at 6-5. And you know, they had a very good chance to win on Saturday, but they got walked off, rally against Wandy Peralta, and also a blown save by Clay Holmes in there. So, but I mean, it's hard to win road series at Fenway Park. It just always is. And the Red Sox are annoyingly resilient at times. So whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, I mean, I guess it might be overly reductive to just say whatever, but again, you can do that when your division lead is 14 games in early July. And I know some people are a little unsettled about how close like the Astros are getting to like home the top seed, but that's such a long-term thing. Yeah, like we still have half the season to go. The Astros are unquestionably at this point playing in a worse division than the Yankees. Even the Orioles now are 10-game winning streak and over 500, and they're in last place in this division. And the Astros get to play a whole bunch of this defeated-looking Angels team, the Rangers, who are fine but whatever, and the A's, who are one of the worst teams in baseball. So yeah, if they may well end up catching the Yankees, if not only because they have a much lighter schedule.
Yeah, and like my one takeaway is like the more annoying series, I wouldn't even consider this Red Sox series like one of the more annoying series of this season. And like for me, like what makes an annoying series when the offense just completely doesn't show up and just looks tired or beat or defeated, or they just don't look like they don't want to play. At least the offense showed up for the most part, I feel like, against the Red Sox. It was just like a few bad pitching performances, like a couple meltdowns and whatever. And like that's kind of stuff that's just going to happen. It just sucks that it all happened together. Mm-hmm. But I'll take those kind of losses like for like, you know, random scattered crappy weeks than like just the offense is just tired or whatever the hell is going on where they look like they can't buy a hit. So I'll take it.
Yeah. And that was even happening with Stanton still sort of working through some slumps. Aaron Judge has been battling some soreness and has not really looked the same for about like a week or so at this point. It's not an IL situation, but you can tell that he's probably just, you know, working through it. He's sadly might not be on that like 60 home run pace anymore, but that's okay.
Excuse me, 74 home runs?
Yeah. Pardon me.
Excuse yourself, sir.
Yeah. But like back to the Astros thing, it's one of those things where, like, of course, yes, I would love to see the Yankees challenge for the wins record. I would love to see the Yankees end up as the best team in baseball. And they did jump out to a great lead to do so. But it's if they end up losing like the home field advantage, it'll be annoying, but it's also not going to be the end of the world. They, at some point, they are going to have to beat the Astros in Houston in the playoffs. They're just going to have to do it. And if they don't end up getting home field advantage in that series, which may or may not happen anyway, then whatever. I mean, you have to find a way to get it done. And I know that like 2017 is always in the back of people's mind because all the home teams won the games in that series. And so the Yankees were out of luck when the series ended in Houston. But that series is very much an anomaly. And that doesn't really speak to how any future Yankees Astros series would go, you know?
That series was also 5 years ago.
Yeah, like Sonny Gray and Jacoby Ellsbury were on that team. Right. Chase Headley, that holiday, it's ancient it's history at this point. I know that like the Astros have a way of sticking in people's memory for like a reason, especially that team with everything that's gone on in the aftermath of it. But that's not a series you base like, okay, well, we need home field advantage, otherwise it's just a hopeless endeavor. People kind of forget that in 2019, the Yankees won the first game of that ALCS against the Astros in Houston. And then they played like not very well at home. They lost 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium. And that's one of the reasons why they were in the situation that they were in to lose Game 6 on the stupid Altuve home run.
Yeah. And like, understandably, yeah, like the Astros have scarred people, like you said, or whatever. And it's still rightfully hate them. I don't like them as a team either. I strongly hate them, but I'm not going to let like a series 5 years ago dictate like what I care about more right now. Like, I just want to make sure the Yankees are playing well, they're doing their thing, and they get into the playoffs, which, I mean, again, all these things should happen. But you can't let one bad week just let you scar you from like what the Yankees have accomplished overall this season so far.
Yeah. And I think at this point, obviously, we still have a season to go. Baseball is very weird, but the Yankees are in a very good position to at least skip that first round regardless with the new buys that are in there for the playoff format this season to the 3 wild cards. And you move from there. I think they will still have a good chance of winning that home field advantage regardless, but that's what you're really thinking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, one more, you know, if we're reaching into random baseball history fun facts, 2019 World Series, Nats Astros, the road team won literally every game. You know, it's baseball is just kind of a weird sport. Home field advantage is good to have, but it's not the be-all, end-all, and it will be okay if the Yankees do not get it. But ideally, they do.
Yeah, like, home field advantage is, like, always... It's more nice to have than anything that's truly determining anything. It's like, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, home field advantage was decided by the stupid All-Star team. Like, yes, it's 100% a factor. It's 100% something that matters. I'm not trying to undermine it, but it doesn't matter that much. Be the better team, play better, you're going to win the series.
Exactly. So, little mini rant over, but probably talk about some things in specifics for these past few days. Clay Holmes, probably in his first bad stretch of the season, which is very odd to see, but it's hard to maintain a 0.47 ERA or whatever over a full season. And, it happens. He gave up a game-tying hit to the Red Sox, looked actually bad against the Reds. Honestly, in both games, he managed to squeak out of the jam last night to get the game into extra innings, or to give the Yankees a chance to win in the bottom of the ninth and then later the 10th. But I think when you have a pitcher this dominant, again, it's sort of like a microcosm of the whole Yankee season thing. You can afford to have like a little hiccup week in some time in there. Like, this would happen to Mariano Rivera all the time. Remember the what's wrong with Mo week? Of seasons.
Annual what's wrong with Mo week. Is he finally done? Yeah. No, he was not.
Yeah, and then he was dominant until the very last. So, you know, And that's not to say that Clay Holmes is for sure Mariano Rivera, but it gives you the confidence that he's going to be able to work through what's going on right now. The team still has a lot of confidence in him. Obviously, they sent him right back out the very next day after not recording a single out against the Reds. And he got through the inning. It was a little up and down, but he got through it. So that's all you can ask. He'll get tonight off at least to breathe. And then we'll see him possibly in this Red Sox series before the All-Star break.
Yeah, and the one thing to remember is, like, yeah, obviously he's been, like, otherworldly this season, but it's not just this season where he's been good. Like, the Yankees have turned him around ever since he came over from the Pirates, so it's not like it's, like, a small sample size, but, like, oh, he's just, like, on a hot streak to start the season or anything like that. No, like, they literally turned something around in Clay Holmes and unlocked a whole new chapter in his career, for lack of a better term. So, yeah, you have confidence he's going to bounce back. He'll be fine. Michael King went through this earlier in the year. And, like, you know, since then, he's come back with the vengeance. So, yeah. You know, maybe a little bit of fatigue. I mean, he does, I think, leads the American League in games pitched.
He does. Yeah, 40.
But I don't, I remember he led the AL. So, like, maybe a little bit of fatigue, maybe whatever the hell's going on. Who knows? But it was the right thing to do, just to put him right back. Although, again, like you said, it was a little bit of a nail biting situation on Wednesday as well. But hey, congrats on getting out of it.
Yeah, and, like, not all these things are going to be worked through the snap of a finger. So,
no,
you know, he'll figure it out. Sometimes closers just have weird stuff going on. This is a good week, a reminder that I was watching the free YouTube game yesterday afternoon. That was Brewers and Twins, and Josh Hader did not record a single out in the ninth inning and give up a 3-run home run to end the game to the Twins. So, yeah, it's just
things happen.
Yeah, closers, they are finicky, even the best of them.
What I have preferred for Clay Holmes is, like, ERA plus to go from, like, 1,000 to 700 to, you know, a pedestrian 2, whatever it is right now.
282. What are we doing here?
Loser.
Yeah.
Like, would I have preferred for that to all happen within a span of, like, a week or two and to come all at once? No. But it happens.
Yeah, pretty much.
So even after that, like, this bad week and blow up for him, his ERA is still at a 1.34, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure it out. And especially if they are still maintaining a lead like this in September, then they can very much, like, space things out if they still need to. And he hasn't, like, you know, suffered any injuries or whatever that would be hindering his innings limits. So
right. They
work through it. But I guess, speaking of injury, we should talk about Luis Severino. He had to leave the start yesterday against the Reds with some right shoulder tightness. He gave up 3 consecutive home runs in the second inning, so that was not great to see. But and his velocity was also down a little bit, but he, after a mound visit with the trainer, he seemed to put it together, finished the inning, but then he pulled himself after not really being able to warm up and get comfortable in the third. So the Yankees are still waiting on MRI results as we are speaking, but we are crossing our fingers right now and hoping that there's nothing too wrong with Severino, because that would be a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially with, like, the season he's had so far. Like, yeah, there's been a couple hiccups here and there, but for the most part, he's looked amazing. And just what he's been able to accomplish so far is still nothing short of amazing, just with the amount of time he's missed. So you don't want him to miss any more significant time. But yeah, it was a little tough to see. He was preparing to be my man for the week, because I thought he was just having a bad start. And I was like, hey, that's my dog's birthday. Rude. But yeah. Then I guess I'll forgive him if, you know, he just wasn't right and he was hurt. So you're forgiven for now, but just get better, sir. Yeah,
whatever, man. Yeah, but, like, 2019 he had, like, right shoulder tightness, and that had pretty much kept him out for most of the season until coming back in late September. So that lurks in the back of your mind always. And he's on 86 innings at this point, which is obviously way more than he's thrown in any season in 4 years. So he is still trying to get back to normal. They are probably, I think, even if, like, the MRI is clean, they'll probably just shut him down for at least these last few games, because he wouldn't be scheduled to pitch anyway for the way the rotation is lined up through the end of the All-Star break. And then probably at the beginning, when they resume next week, they would probably be putting him toward the end of that shuffle anyway, if they can. So then they give him, like, a full, what would basically be 2 starts off. So I think that is probably something that will happen regardless. And they will definitely treat him very carefully, because, again, the advantages that they built up have allowed them to play things a little safe. So it could be very much akin to, like, earlier in the season, And also last year when like Giancarlo Stanton had like a little minor injury and they're like, we'll put him on the 10-day IL just to be safe. They may end up doing the same thing with like Severino.
Yeah. And especially like, again, assuming and hoping everything is nothing's, it's nothing too serious and stuff like that. This is probably the right time to do it. Cause as you said, like, you know, we're leading right into the All-Star break. He's not going to pitch again until after the break anyway. So you do it, you end up skipping like two, the equivalent of two starts. You can maybe even afford to do a third if, you know, Domingo Herman is there. Cause he looks like a, he looks like he's on the verge of returning. He was with the team yesterday. So you could probably get away with it for a little bit and see what you do. And then just give his arm a little, give his arm and shoulder a little bit of time to rest.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, exactly. That's like the whole reason that they were stretching Herman out to start rather than just be a reliever. They want that flexibility to be able to just throw him in the rotation. Do either of us love Domingo Herman? Not really.
No.
But this is why he's around. So you might as well use him. You can use JP Sears as well. He provided some relief of Severino yesterday and was solid again. Gave a couple runs this time, but that's okay. So you have possibilities to throw out there for after the All-Star break when his spot in the rotation comes up again. And obviously, even like if we were recording this later in the day, we would know very a little bit more about what's going on with Severino, whether he's going to be out for like a couple months or just like a couple weeks. But either way, you can look at the in the immediate future and know that they will probably not see much of Sevy for the rest of July. And that's okay.
Yeah,
they're going to have to control his innings at some point. And this is, you know, just the human body's way of saying it's going to happen now. And they're like, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Pretty much his body's like, you might want to control my innings now.
Yeah, yeah. And because the Yankees are still very much looking at the October because they would love to have Severino ready to start one of those games in a playoff series, particularly with just to segue again to with Jameson Taillon looking sort of like the pre-July Jameson Taillon of last year. He's looked really bad. I appreciate like in post-game things, he's very much owned it. He's not like, oh, well, I'm just like here or there. He's like, no, I'm just working on some things. It's not very good right now. I need to figure out how to get better. And his stuff is probably the kind of stuff in the rotation that I have the least confidence in of the group of starters, but maybe he will figure out something again like he did last year. That's all I can really hope right now.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Well, both things that you just said were like, you probably have the least confidence in his stuff, but you also see the potential. You've seen how he's able to pitch, excuse me. So you know that he can do it. It's just whatever he needs to figure out, you know, hopefully him and Matt Blake can do it sooner rather than later. He's someone that, like, I think last week we talked about maybe could use a skip in the rotation, but maybe they can't afford that right now with Severino possibly being injured. So you just kind of hope he figures it out sooner rather than later and, you know, kind of take it from there. But it has not been fun to watch Taillon pitch the last few weeks.
Yeah, just to put some numbers on it, 8.57 ERA in his last four starts. That is 20 runs in 21 innings and 30 hits and 7 homers. So not the recipe that you normally want for success. But even if we stretch it back a little bit further to his, like, basically his first start after his perfect game attempt against the Angels, it's 6.81 ERA in 7 starts. So he's, you know, he's battling through it. We will see what goes on. They haven't announced the rotation yet for the Red Sox series this weekend, so they may end up skipping him. But I have a feeling like maybe they would start Herman in one of his starts instead because they want to play it safe or something like that. But I guess we will see what they decide to do with Taillon. But either way, he needs to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. After that run of like no hitter attempts and perfect game attempts, it's just it's been a very up and down few weeks for the rotation as a whole. Obviously, Cole had like a maybe like a bad game. I think the last one was against the Twins. No, I'm not talking about the Rafael Devers game because Rafael Devers just owns him.
Yeah, but that was a weird start where I was like, really good, other than, you know, Rafael Devers continuing to own him.
Yeah, my note is, who does Gerrit Cole hate more, Rafael Devers or Billy Crystal? Probably Crystal.
Yeah, he wants to see them in like a WWE match and be like, oh yeah, get him.
If they're ever facing each other, he's just Gerrit Cole just there rooting for a meteor.
Yeah, but he's got to figure out how to pitch to Devers at some point. I don't know what it is, but and I know that there's a reason Rafael Devers is one of the best hitters in baseball. This is not exactly like, oh yeah, just get this guy out. It's so easy because Devers is an absurd talent. Even those two pitches he hit for home runs were like way down and he
pulled it out. Second one.
Yeah, that was like, it almost looked like it could have been like a pop-up center, but it just kept going and going and going. And, you know, we are lucky enough to watch this all the time on our benefit with some of the pitches that like Giancarlo Stanton hits for home runs. Like the one he hit yesterday was sort of like that. Granted, that was a very much a short porch special, but even still, it's like way up and out and he still took it out. But Devers has that kind of talent too. And Cole's just got to figure shit out.
Yeah. At least he's not being owned by like somebody who's not good. Like it's not like the random, like if an IKF was on the Red Sox and Garrett Cole's just being owned by him, it's like, what the hell's going on here, buddy?
Yeah. Like, or like the
legitimate player.
Or like the G-Man Choi stuff of past years.
Yeah. But yeah, I would very much like them to him to figure that out. Otherwise, you know how Aroldis Chapman's not allowed to pitch against the Red Sox at all? Garrett Cole might just have intentionally walked Devers every time.
Yeah. But Cole looked better against the Reds. Very shocking, I know, that Garrett Cole would pitch well against the Reds. But 7 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. And then they just not win that game because of Holmes falling apart in the ninth. Whoops. But But again, Cole has sort of returned to that like stabilizing force in the rotation. Not that he was ever bad before this like June, but he had been sort of overshadowed, I guess, a little bit by like the Nestors and Tyones and Sevies of the world. But he has been the rotation's rock in recent weeks. Jordan Montgomery has been solid, but Nestor Cortez has slowed down a little bit. Still made the All-Star team, so that's cool to see. But he's sort of facing similar challenges that Seve is, where not necessarily injury as much, but running up against, I haven't pitched this many innings in a long time. And in his case, never at the big league level. So that is something for the Yankees to track in the second half as well, and may well end up affecting if they decide to add a starter or not on the trade deadline.
Pretty much. And just to kind of go back to what you were talking about, Garrett Cole, since his like blow up in Minnesota, where he allowed 7 runs in 2 1/3 innings, Garrett Cole's pitched to a 2.06 ERA in over 6 starts, almost basically 40 innings, 39 1/3 innings. And that includes that 5 runs that Rafael Devers was responsible for. But besides that, you know, he's been very, very good. He's been pitching at least 6 innings in all those starts, and he's reached the 7th and even the 8th innings 3 of those times. So kudos. And even that game against the Red Sox where Devers kind of tagged him up a lot and owned him, he still went and gave him 6 innings. So that's exactly what you want from your ace. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, Nestor Cortez has a phenomenal start to the season, but there was never any doubt that, you know, Garrett Cole is the ace of this rotation. And like you said, he's the rock of this rotation.
Yeah. So Nestor's just got to work through it. They'll be able to give him some time. But I'm curious to see what the Yankees' deadline approach will be, if they are super interested in adding a guy like Luis Castillo, who is starting tonight against the Yankees, and they'll get an up close spotlight at him, or maybe one of the other stars that's on the market. But they could very well decide that they want to roll with what they have, and then there are internal options there to back up as well. If your series, your Hermans, Ken Waldachuk is working down at AAA, maybe that'll be an option later in the season. Clark Schmidt's another guy who they sent down.
I forgot about him.
They sent him down after working in like middle relief basically through like mid-June because they wanted to have him stretched out as a possible eventual starting option. And he is almost there. I think in his last outing, he threw 4 or 5 innings. So he's getting closer to that point where he could be an option for that. And honestly, he would interest me more than any of those other guys. With all, even though I do like JP Sears, I think Schmidt's ceiling is higher. Waldachuk, I don't know if he's quite there yet. And Herman, we are, you know, just perpetually meh about. So
pretty much. And like, I think the Yankees have enough depth to kind of tread the waters right now. But, and I feel like Cashman's priority is going to be finding another outfielder to basically replace Joey Gallo, and also sending Joey Gallo somewhere. But I just hope this isn't one of those times where like Cashman's just like, because he has a tendency to kind of sometimes just focus, like have tunnel vision or just focus in on his one thing. But then, you know, sometimes he'll ninja Cashman out of nowhere, and like while acquiring Joey Gallo, he'll just randomly turn around and get Anthony Rizzo too.
So I hope sometimes he'll randomly end up with Andrew Heaney like 5 minutes before the deadline. The only thing is that Andrew Heaney was Andrew Heaney. So whoops.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I hope he doesn't pull something like that where he just, like, I hope he does actually go out and get another starter, because I think this team could use it and get somebody like real, but we'll see. I think starter is probably second on his priority list after outfielder, because Joey Gallo, man.
Yeah. Joey Gallo is still Joey Gallo. And also they have another concern popping up because Aaron Hicks fouled the ball off his shin. That was not very pretty looking. He had clean MRIs afterwards, so it's probably just a really bad contusion. But, I mean, you never know how, like, it might affect him over, like, the next week. And he had just been starting to come on really strong since the beginning of June, as we've talked about in recent episodes. But that's just another reason to, you know, make an outfielder priority.
Right, exactly. Especially because, like, right now, Aaron Hicks is basically, like, center fielder 1B to Judge's 1A, because Judge has pretty much become the center fielder for the team. But without Aaron Hicks there, you're basically slotting Joey Gallo in at center behind Judge, and then having like Marwin Gonzalez or Matt Carpenter play like a lot more outfield than you probably want them to.
Yeah, so they are, I'm sure, very much still thinking about like outfielders, but maybe not really think about like an Andrew Benintendi or Michael A. Taylor as much,
because avoid the Royals at all costs.
Yeah, because apparently they are rolling into Toronto for a series with 10 of their players not there.
Man, that is impressive. Almost like an impressive amount of people to just be like, "Nah, we're good."
Yeah. Shout out to Whit Merrifield for being like, "Well, we kind of suck, so I don't really want to fuck." Like, okay.
I did love that. He's just like, "Yeah, maybe if I go to a team that like is better and has to go to play in Toronto, then I'll get the shot." And so it's also funny because like I assume that quote was from Andrew Benintendi because like, you know, he's been the talk of trade talks for a couple weeks now because he's, you know, having a very good year and, you know, the Royals are not. But then, like, I just didn't even see it. And then when I was talking to you about it, you're like, wasn't that Whit Merrifield? He's like, who the hell wants his old washed ass anyway?
Yeah. Whit Merrifield is not exactly the guy he was a couple years ago. Breaking news.
I think Whit Merrifield's quote was the MLB equivalent to Kevin Durant's trade request. It's like, please get me out of here.
Yeah, I don't want to be in Brooklyn.
But yeah, I know the Yankees have been linked to Michael Taylor in recent weeks just because of, you know, what he can do. And I was mad on that anyway because it's not really, like he's really that great of a player. But just avoid the Royals at all costs, please and thank you.
Yeah. And if, honestly, we should segue to talk about the Blue Jays a little bit, too, because they made a pretty surprising move that even though we're Yankees podcast, should remark upon, they fired their manager, Charlie Montoyo, who, you know, he wasn't like the worst guy in the world, but apparently they were just not very satisfied with the messaging in the locker room. The players were, even though like some of them were like upset to see him go, it seemed like whispers behind the scenes that a lot of the players were looking for a little bit more energy in a manager, and the Blue Jays had not been playing well recently. And honestly, even like going back to like when Montoya started, his full record as Blue Jays manager was like exactly 500.
Obviously, yeah, it was like 236 and 236 or something.
Yeah, and obviously they like just barely missed the playoffs last year. They did make the playoffs in the expanded field of 2020, but that was just more like a bonus. Hey, we're in. And then they got their ass kicked by the Rays and then they were gone. And, but last year, I think they were hoping, even with that, like missing the playoffs by one game, that's like, oh, that sucks. But even still, they were probably a good enough team that they shouldn't have been that close to it. And this, this year, even now, they hold one of the wild card spots, but like they hold one of the last wild card spots and are tied with like the Red Sox and Mariners for it, and only a game and a half behind the Rays. And they were very much looking forward to not being that close to the conversation. Obviously, I think they were the consensus American League East favorites, and that might be a pipe dream at this point, but they were hoping to not be this close to the bubble with this kind of offense. So they're going with their bench coach from now on.
Yeah. And like you said, like he seemed like a decent enough dude, but I do think like overall the body of work hasn't been great, especially for what like the Blue Jays expectations have been the last few years. I feel like every year, like in the postseason, in the preseason, like everyone's talking about the Blue Jays, the moves they make and all that, and then something just doesn't really end up working out too great for them. So maybe they just needed a new voice. And I think I saw something where like he had lost the locker room like before like their Mariners series or whoever they were playing. So that doesn't help. No. And if that's truly the case, then yeah, get another voice in there and then just kind of ride out the season and get an early head start on looking at new candidates.
Yeah. Well, and he'll get a nice little introduction because they got four games against the very unvaxxed Royals. And we're playing like, you know, a one third, honestly, like maybe half, since they're the Royals, a half AAA roster. So, and they also just got to play two against the Phillies, who lost their starting catcher, JT Realmuto, Alec Boehm, and a couple other players. They could not play in Toronto. So, cool. Great advantage.
Huzzah.
Yeah, nice little way to start off your managerial career. Like, oh, good, we don't have to, you know, play the team's best talents. So that's nice.
Man, the Orioles are two games out of a wild card spot.
The Orioles are lurking. Yeah, they've won 10 in a row. And so have the Mariners. The Mariners are now tied for that second wild card spot with Toronto and Boston. So both of them are just rolling right now. They're very much back in the race. And the Mariners, I would say, very much back in the race. The Orioles are just, you know, here now. They're just like, oh, okay, you're at the party too? I didn't realize this.
Yeah. My kingdom for the Mariners, the Orioles, well, not the Mariners, because it's just funny to me that they never make the playoffs. So I'll let that continue.
Rude.
My kingdom for the Orioles and the Guardians to just make the playoffs instead of the three AL East teams.
Yeah, we'll allow the Mariners to be the third wild card, and like Orioles, Guardians, and Mariners. That would be really funny.
It's kind of really funny to me that the Mariners don't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, that's cruel. It's something against the Mariners or Seattle. Personally, Seattle looks like a very lovely town. One of my favorite TV shows is set in Seattle, so that's my connection to it. It's just honestly very funny to me, and I'm a terrible human being. I know, but don't make the playoffs, Mariners.
Yeah, do it for cringe, or rather, don't do it for cringe.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the Orioles, they are 45-44 as we speak, and even like it's not like totally fluky either, because they've given up 377 runs, they've scored 371 runs, so they're basically like a 500 team by Pythagorean record too, and also third order. So they are really good. Well, I don't know if I should say really good, but they are way more respectable than anyone thought they would ever be.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're a legitimate major league baseball team. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're quite quote-unquote good yet, but they're definitely like not a laughingstock right now, which is, you know, kudos to them, because they had been for quite a few years.
Yeah.
In recent memory.
Yeah, and they've honestly been playing like a lot better since Adley Rutschman was called up too. And it's like, oh my god, imagine calling up your best prospects, and you know, it's not like he's been setting the world on fire, but he's been very, very solid as a rookie, and I think that's probably sort of energized that team too.
Yeah, and like an Orioles team like this, like if the Yankees played against them, and you know, had like the record that they did like last year against them, it wouldn't be as frustrating, because it's like, okay, this is at least a decent, respectable team. They probably, like, I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, or you mentioned it, I think, specifically, but in another division, they probably have even a better record than they currently have right now. Like, I think they're in the AL Central, they're definitely better than, you know, 45-44, just because of the class of their opponents. So it wouldn't be as frustrating, but yeah, no, kudos to them.
Yeah, and part of this is also they were playing the Rangers for three. They swept the Angels in four. Then they played two games in Chicago against the Cubs. So they have not had the toughest competition, but also the fact that we very much expected the Orioles to be said within the same sentence as not tough competition. You know, credit, they've had their longest winning streak since 1999. So whatever.
And the thing is, like, a good team, they're supposed to beat up on the bad teams, and that's what they've done.
So,
and again, it's not hard to sweep a team that has, like, I get that the Angels are like very, very, very much underwhelming and disappointing like every year, but it's still not hard to sweep a team that has Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. And hey, if they want to continue the winning over the weekend at the Trop, then go right ahead, because that would make me laugh.
Please go ahead and take over the Rays for the top wild card spot.
Like, somehow the Orioles returned.
Oh god, please don't make them Palpatine in this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can envision a world where the Orioles are Palpatine. That doesn't really make sense.
Oh man, my mind is going into some weird place where I'm trying to combine Palpatine with Baltimore, and it's just I don't know. Nope, we're done, we're moving on from the Orioles talk.
Yes, good. Over. Let the old bay run through you.
Oh god,
anyway.
I'm over this.
All right. On that On that note, I think we should take a ad break to cleanse the palate. So we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. So before we get into the end of our show, we'll talk about just for a little bit, All-Stars. Judge and Giancarlo Stanton were obviously voted into the starting lineup. That was cool to see that Stanton didn't even have to go through the other selection process. He just made it in through fan votes for the last outfield spot, starting with Mike Trout and Judge. So hooray, G. And the four All-Stars who were named on the rest of the roster, Gerrit Cole, Clay Holmes, Nestor Cortez, and Jose Trevino, our old pal behind the plate. He made it.
We did it. We got him there.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my mission for the past few weeks, is to get Jose Trevino into the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And the whole grand total of two times I voted, got him there.
Good work, man. Even though
it didn't, but it got him there. It worked. Yeah. It worked. I did it. All me.
Hey, I actually voted for Giancarlo in the phase two of the voting because I was like, we will play my part. Just because if it was anyone else, I think it'd be more meh. But I just really love the idea of Giancarlo Stanton being at the All-Star game as a Yankee, just because that hasn't happened before, which is kind of weird. But he deserves to have had that happen. And obviously, I was voting for Trevino in that process too. But Giancarlo was the one who was actually on the bubble.
Yeah. Well, so when I say my grand total of two votes, I voted once in phase one, once in phase two. I don't have time to sit there and do multiple votes a day or just vote every single day. I mean, I do have the time. I have literally nothing better to do.
Yeah, with phase two is like you were maxed out of voting once per day. And I never voted more than once per day anyway, but like it was just like, okay, good. Let's keep this balance.
I vote once per phase because I'm like, I don't have the time to remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, especially because like I genuinely felt like Giancarlo had his best chance this season than he ever had. It's because since he came over, but like the last couple of years, he's been in the DH spot. And obviously he's had a lot of competition there with the DH, but him actually being in the outfield this season was, I think, a big benefit or help to him because he didn't have to compete with Shohei Ohtani or Yordan Alvarez. So, you know, he actually, and then it's not just like he needed to be the only person voted in there. He was able to be one of the top three, which gave him a better chance, and he absolutely deserves it. You know, he's at 23 home runs right now. He's well on his way to 75 or above. And yeah, it's just something I've been wanting to see. The one thing I am going to like rant about for like a good 12 seconds is I was on the MLB Shop website and it's pissing me off that I can buy a Judge All-Star jersey and a Cole All-Star jersey and nobody else.
That is weird.
Judge and Cole, the only two available.
They better at least like get on Giancarlo.
I guess like maybe just the graphics department already just had those made because everyone knew those two were making the team.
Yeah.
But come on, man. I want my Giancarlo one.
Yeah, and I know like earlier in the season, I think this is still the case, but it's hard to even find like Nestor merch, you know. And
yeah.
Like well, no, I shouldn't say Nestor merch, because obviously you can at least point you can get like Nestor mustache shirts pretty much anywhere, but you don't really see a lot in the like the official shop. You just want like a regular old like Yankees t-shirt with like Nestor on the back, you know?
Yeah. So that's on another side note, one thing I am going to give kudos to is I personally love the All-Star jerseys this year.
Okay.
I've been a very big proponent of like during the All-Star game, like the teams, like the players shouldn't be wearing their individual team jerseys during the game because I don't know why that always pissed me off.
And weird. Then, I always liked it.
I don't know. I hated it. It was just weird to me. So I'm a big fan of like, hey, let's get something uniform, but then also represent each team. So I'm very much a fan of everyone will wear the same color and same color scheme and all that, but then they'll have their own individual logo on the front. So kudos. At least from my
end. You're weird, man.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even dislike the All-Star jerseys this year. They're fine. I've never really been super like attached to like judgments one way or the other. I thought the ones last year were pretty ugly, but whatever.
Yeah, like the ones last year were just poorly made, but I supported what they were trying to do and getting everyone to wear the same thing. That's why I think I hated them less than everybody, just because I approved of the concept. But yeah, no, they weren't great.
Yeah.
They look like weird, like corporate soccer mishmash polos.
Yeah, or like bowling jerseys of some guy.
Yeah, throw that in there. Corporate soccer polo bowling mishmashes.
Rob Manfred's like, oh yeah, that's actually what we're going for. So,
I don't hate baseball. This is what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah, but. Appreciate to see all these like first time All Stars there. I know it was like super cool to see like the videos of especially like Trevino. Cortez and Holmes when I was about to say Girardi, oh man, when when Boone told them that they were all stars, and obviously they range very much, like Holmes was just like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, Trevino's was like very sweet because he was just like, it was just like, oh, like, yeah, you made it. And then like Holmes was definitely the funniest because he literally like, he was like, oh, you're going to LA. Holmes was just like, sweet.
Yeah, I think he, I mean, with him, I guess it was just like, okay, I kind of expected this, and they had talked about it, so it was more of an affirmation, but I think it's just like also their personalities too, and Trevino was very much like, well, maybe he'll make it, and, you know, it's been such a crazy journey for him too, in particular.
And the cool thing about Nestor is, like, you know, they kind of had a little bit of a reveal in that video where, like, Aaron Boone, I guess, told him in spring training that, like, you know, you can make the All-Star team or you're going to make the All-Star team. I forget exactly what he said.
He said you're going to make the All-Star team, yeah.
Yeah, which is just awesome. And then to have that actually come true, pretty good. Pretty good. Good
stuff.
Yeah. I'm upset we didn't get the Garrett Cole video.
Yeah, the Garrett Cole, which is very much probably just like a text message. You are on the team. Okay.
Yeah, it might have been worse than Holmes' reaction, which would have made it funnier to me.
Yeah, he probably just like left it on red, honestly. He's like, okay, all right.
Aaron Boone's just sitting in his office waiting for Garrett Cole to walk in to let him know he's an All-Star. Meanwhile, Cole's already on his way to LA. Like, oh, what else did you think?
Yeah. Well, it's also a weird thing, too, because like it's one of those things where Cole is not going to pitch in the game because he's scheduled to start on Sunday. So, like, I think he would probably still go to the game anyway, but it's funny. He'll be like, yep, all right, cool. Then I'll just hang out.
Yeah. I'm just here. I'm just here for the ride.
Just don't invite Billy Crystal.
Have Billy Crystal be his catcher in the All-Star game.
Yeah, he would like beat him or something. Anyway. Billy Crystal was on the K-Rod broadcast the other day, and you definitely know that somewhere Garrett Cole was like, I feel a disturbance.
Yes. Yeah, and it was funny because I kind of forgot like when Cole was scheduled to start. So like I had seen like the guest for the K-Rod cast earlier in the day, and I saw Billy Crystal was on there. I was like, please tell me Garrett Cole's starting today. Please tell me Garrett Cole's starting today. And then I remembered eventually, oh, wait, no, he started the already, so that's not happening, and it was very, very sad.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to our BREF leaderboard?
Yeah. So a few changes, few notable changes up here, but, like, towards the top, it's kind of all, you know, it's still obviously the Aaron Judge show. DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, and then Garrett Cole is still working his way up. Kind of, you know, hovering around the bottom, slowly but surely making his way back towards the top where, you know, Garrett Cole probably belongs.
Yep.
Trevino, Nestor Cortez, Josh Donaldson, Michael King also, you know, working his way back up to prominence. You know, we talked about his like rough stretch earlier in the season a little while ago, and, you know, he made his way off of the leaderboard completely. But since he's come back, you know, since he's found his form and come back to the leaderboard, he's been holding steady and still making his way up. Now, my favorite addition to this is Matt Carpenter and his 1 month worth of games.
He's here, man. He made it.
It's just so funny because usually, like, when you look at the leaderboard, you'll see everyone in the same team hat or whatever or and all that. And it's like Yankee, Yankee hat, Yankee hat, Yankee hat. Matt Carpenter's goofy-ass Cardinals face. And then back to Yankee
with the beard.
With the beard. It's like, what the hell's going on here? But yeah, kudos to the man who already has 10 dingers in a month.
Yeah, and again, still only has 78 plate appearances and yet managed to put up 1.6 more in that time.
Yeah, because all he does is hit his dingers. So
yeah.
It's Matt Carpenter's world, and we're all just living in it, pretty much.
Dude rules.
And congrats on tying Joey Gallo for the amount of homers on a team.
Yeah, honestly, for a second last night, he hit a ball pretty deep in his pinch hit appearance in the ninth that it looked like it looked like, oh, is that going to go out? But he hit the wrong part of the park, so
Yeah, it was quite close. That it was funny when they were like right after that, it was they were showing the slow-mo of that. You just see people jumping down like, yeah. Aww. It's like, yep, that's pretty much everybody.
Yeah, that was actually the Yankees' furthest hit ball of the night, 378 feet.
Sounds about right.
Yeah,
and yet G hit one out.
Yeah, and what's funny is that, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, 363 feet on his double, which is, honestly, I think that might have been the furthest one he's hit this year, since he hasn't homered yet.
Oh, God. But, I think he had a hit against the Red Sox as well, where like, or was it the Red Sox, or I forget who, but like, if this was at Yankee Stadium, it actually would have been his first home run.
Yeah, it was, yeah, it's to right field at Fenway, and it's like, oh, wrong park, man. Sorry.
Yeah, almost.
Mm-hmm. You'll get there one day, maybe.
Maybe, perhaps, yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, we'll see. Also, I think he will run into one at some point. I believe in him.
I agree. I think there's one in him. I don't know about any more than that, but there's one.
Yeah. Maybe he even like gets an inside the Parker, you know. Get some outfielder to screw up and then just run around the bases.
If Higashioka has five home runs, IKF can manage one.
Yeah. Well, I think Higgy does have a little bit more just like random pop that sometimes emerges than IKF does.
IKF of the career 16 home runs.
Yeah, oof, yeah. Although he did get 8 last year in Texas, and that's like, you know, a Costco. So
that is a Costco.
Yeah, that is what StatCast says. StatCast says this place is Costco.
This place is Costco. Go get some $1.50 hot dogs and sodas.
Yeah, forever.
Anyway, and then rounding out the top 12 are Clay Holmes and his pedestrian ass self after this week. Anthony Rizzo and Jordan Montgomery, who, based on what I was looking at last night, has replaced Luis Severino on the list.
Oh, are you ready for some breaking news?
Oh God. Is it good or bad?
Did you see the breaking news?
I have not.
From Jeff Passan, the New York Yankees are acquiring utility man Tyler Wade in a trade to the Los Angeles Angels. He's back, baby.
Yeah. We did it.
Yeah, I don't know who did it, but
somebody did it, and they deserve to be sued.
Yeah.
Wasn't Tyler Wade like hardcore recruiting Aaron Judge at one point to the Angels? He was.
Yeah, it's like, actually, never mind. Okay, Joel Sherman says that he's going to AAA, so I guess that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who the hell would they get rid of for Tyler Wade? That was gonna be my question, but if he's going to AAA, then that's fine. Sure. Congrats. Yeah. Welcome home, I guess. We did it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery rounds out the top 12. So at least there's still three of the starters in there. I missed when all five members of the rotation were in the top 12. But
yeah, I guess not sure, not sure if we'll get that again.
Yeah, that was a fun run.
Yeah. Well, hey, if Gerrit Cole wants to build up on his lead and get him closer to back to the top, then do it, my man.
Do it.
And
Well, I guess just preview what's upcoming. So they got the series finale against the Reds later tonight. Then they're at home for Boston against Boston for a 3-game set. And then that leads them into the All-Star break, which Hooray. Is after which or during which is probably the next time you'll hear from us.
Yeah, we will speak after the home run derby and the All-Star game. There's been some whispers that Stan might do the home run derby. He hasn't committed either way yet, but we will find out either way.
I think there's one spot left.
Yeah,
from
Jose Ramirez is doing it, they said late last night. So
yeah,
and I'm surprised that like there might not be a Dodger in there, because usually there's at least one person from one. The whole team. So I wonder if maybe they're like trying to get like Mookie or someone to do it from the Dodgers, but if they're not successful, maybe they'll just be like, well, hey G, you want to do it? And they'll be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Or maybe it'll be like someone just totally random who we never really expected.
Right. It would be fun to watch just because, you know, it's always fun to watch Giancarlo obliterate baseballs. Hopefully this doesn't end like his last time out where he gets eliminated in the first round.
Yeah.
Although at that time it was fun because Gary Sanchez did it and I love him.
But he did do it. Yeah. What if like Gary Sanchez just randomly the last guy? Like, yeah, we should bought him again. You know,
I'm going to LA anyway. Yeah. Even though he's not, but I'm going to LA anyway.
Hey, sometimes they have invited dudes to the home run derby who were not That's in true. The All-Star game before. I think like the first time Alonso did it, he was not invited.
No, it's definitely not like a uncommon practice for people who are not an all-stars to be in the derby because whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Gary. Maybe it's not. It's probably not.
Joel Sherman. Yankees see Wade as depth/insurance. Probably not a bad fringe benefit in this environment. A pal of Judge's. I was like, yeah, we'll bring him back just if you want to, like, you know, be happy about it, Judge.
Yeah,
like,
all of a sudden, Judge is going to give the Yankees a discount now. You brought Tyler back.
Ah, oh, my buddy. What if, like, your judge was just like, oh, you know what? I actually appreciated the distance that we had between us. So you
can... Now I'm going to sign with the Angels.
Yeah, now I was like, oh, okay. Well, now I'm ready to go. Artie Moreno, let's sign that check and never make the playoffs again.
Yo, who is it? Was it the Manny Machado thing when, like, the White Sox signed his, like, brother-in-law?
Yeah, they signed Yonder Alonso, and they're like, eh? Yeah. And he's like, okay, no, I'm going to get $300 million from the Padres. Bye.
Exactly.
Like, oh, well, so much for that. Oh, God, that was a weird time. Anyway, we should probably try to wrap this thing up, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I just realized what time it is. We've been going on for a little while now.
Yeah, all right. Let's not waste any more time. Do the Yankee and... Manfred of the week. Who is your Yankee of the week? Is it Tyler Wade?
It's Tyler Wade. He's back. No, my Yankee of the week is Giancarlo Stanton. At first, it was going to be the voters and everyone responsible for getting Giancarlo starting in the outfield and getting Trevino into the All-Star game. And they're probably the more deserving Yankees of the week. Yankees of the week. I had it right the first time. But it's going to be Giancarlo Stanton because yesterday was my dog's birthday and he hit a home run, a game-tying home run, that without which they wouldn't have been able to win on that wild pitch. So, Giancarlo Stanton, you're my Yankee of the week, and Leia appreciates you.
Hey, that is fair.
Yes.
Got him a birthday home run. Or got her a birthday home run.
Got her a birthday home run, yes.
Yeah. All right. My Yankee of the week will be Matt Carpenter because he is hitting .467, .556, .933 in the last week in five games and nearly missed a home run last night too. That would have made the numbers even more ridiculous, but it's a time when the Yankees could use some random contributions and Matt Carpenter has been doing that some more. So keep rocking on, man. I don't understand how this is happening still fully, even with the revamp swing, but happy for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
An honorable mention to Aaron Hicks, who was almost hitting as well, but got injured and not sure when exactly we'll get him back, if it'll be immediate or a little bit longer, but give him a kudos anyway.
I thought your honorable mention was going to be to his mustache, because I know you're questioning how this is possible, even with the revamp swing, but we know the answer. It's because of his mustache.
It's true. He took pages out of Nestor's book.
Yes.
It's like, oh, not a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Oh, now we're getting a reply. Somehow Tyler Wade returned.
Oh, God.
Oscar Isaac. Oh, no. All right. On that note, who is your man for the week?
So my man for the week is probably going to be a little unfair, but it's got to happen. It's the manager, Mr. Aaron Boone. I have a very specific reason for this, but I can also probably BS out a logical reason for it. So I'm going to try BSing out a logical reason for it first, which is I feel like there was some questionable moves made during the Red Sox series, especially the last couple things and the last couple games, the two losses where, you know, he made some moves or kept people in maybe a little bit longer than he should have. And then just whatever moves he made didn't work, like having Miguel Castro come out. I think that's my BSing my way into a logical answer. But my real answer is I have one rule. It's simple. Aroldis Chapman does not pitch against the Red Sox, the Rays, the Astros, and the Blue Jays. And you know what happened this week? Aroldis Chapman pitched against the Red Sox.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I don't ask for many things. I didn't even say, hey, don't ever let him pitch again. I'm not that unreasonable. Just don't pitch him against those four teams.
I don't want to see his face. That's all.
And yeah, so don't do it. Don't do it. And like, of course, Aroldis Chapman had to like walk. Not walk them, but basically load the bases with nobody out before he finally got one out. He gave up the lead and took the loss in that game. And then before like finally settling down, and it was like, he definitely wasn't the worst pitching performance of that day, but he set it off and yeah, no.
And it's all his fault, right? So
it's all his fault. Bad Aaron Boone, as one would say. And by one, I mean me.
Got him. All right. My man for the week, Grevin Schneider. Overthink this. I thought about doing someone else, but Jameson Taillon, man, dude, you can't pitch this badly. Calm down, man.
Whew. Yeah. Pretty much. We talked about him already, so I don't want to harp and like just attack him too much, but hopefully he can figure out what's going on and go from there.
Yeah, and like I'd thought about doing like maybe Judge just because he's been slumping, but at least Judge has been battling something. J-Mo just no, you can't pitch this badly.
Yeah. Plus, I think that's more my shtick is to
yell at the best players.
I don't think you've actually given Judge a Manfred of the Week.
No.
Meanwhile, I have. You know what, Aaron Judge, you're also my Manfred of the Week.
Uh-oh.
Feel better.
All right. Shall we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Ballet. Follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. Who are you most looking forward to watching in the Home Run Derby?
Giancarlo Stanton.
If you're just willing into existence.
I'm willing in it. No, I will honestly say Pete Alonso. He's going for his third title.
Third now, in a row, too.
Third in a row, yeah, because 2020 didn't happen. But he's just a lot of fun to watch. I just love the energy he brings when participating in the Derby. So it's hard to root against that unless, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's in there, and then I will 100% be rooting against that. But yeah, it's definitely just fun to watch the energy he brings. And I want to see if he can go for three in a row, because that's just always an impressive feat no matter what. Like, even winning back-to-back home run derbies is a difficult challenge. But so yeah, Pete Alonso.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's fun. He's just sort of like a machine in there. So yeah, pretty much. I think Juan Soto will be a lot of fun to watch too. I enjoy how last year he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do the home run derby to try to fix my swing." It's just like sort of like a thumb in the eye to everyone who like says it's the opposite. And you know what? He hit better in the second half, so maybe he's gonna do it again.
I will give an honorary mention to Albert Pujols.
Oh my god!
Just the fact that he's there, I don't know what to expect of this. But you know what? Have at it, man. It's your last season. It's your last All-Star game. Go have fun.
Go nuts.
Go nuts, pretty much.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, this crop of players that they have in this derby is pretty good. I love Julio Rodriguez. He's a great rookie to watch.
Obviously, Schwarber is just fun to watch. Like, he basically has a home run derby on the field. Jose Ramirez, also exciting and fun to watch. It should be a good show.
Yeah. Switch hitter in the home run derby too, which is you don't always get. I think he should change sides of the plate.
I was gonna say that. I hope he changes sides. He should have two people throwing to him so he can just keep changing sides.
Yeah. All right. So that'll do it for us. Let's go Yankees, win some games against the Reds and Red Sox, and we'll go into the All-Star break with style, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Go team go.
Woo!
Bye.